in the land of the Indian subcontinent. Such a friend of Allah, a wali of Allah, was born, that throughout the whole world, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, he spread the deen. He spread the deen of Islam. And that personality, that wali, his respected name was Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi Qaddusura. And he was a great personality who passed in the history of Islam. And he has a great maqam and status in tasawwuf. We don't have enough time that we can discuss himself, his character, and his effect. Our pious elders and the awliya ikram have written about him, and they have said that he was the jamia, he was the embodiment of good character and attributes and beauty and effort spent on the deen of Allah. And he had a great maqam, great status, and Allah Ta'ala allowed him to do the great work of the deen. And just to explain this in a bit more detail, I'll present to you the statement of one of our pious elders and scholars who described Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi, rahmatullah. Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Delhi, rahmatullah, great scholar and wali of Allah of India, of the Indian subcontinent. He was the muhaddith of Delhi, the muhaddith of Delhi. And he wrote about Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi, rahmatullah. And he praised him, he introduced him, he said, this is that person, that sheikh, that scholar who has did a big favor to the ummah. He did a big favor to the ummah. So Hazrat Shah Wali Allah, rahmatullah, said that from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the birth of Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi, rahmatullahi, 1,000 years passed. 1,000, it was a gap of 1,000 years from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi. And he said that in that time, that 1,000 years that passed, that all of the principal viewpoints of tasawwuf, the codes of practice, the elimination of doubts and confusion, the levels, the principles, he presented what he taught at his time, nobody in the 1,000 years before him could present and clarify and explain to the ummah the work that he had done. So imagine his maqam. And alhamdulillah, he had a big maqam, high status. And for this reason, he was so high and he was given the status that he was given the title Mujaddad al-Afthani. Because Mujaddads come, the revivers come. But 1,000 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the Mujaddad after al-Afthani, 1,000 years. And this was Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sarhandi, Mujaddad al-Afthani. The title was given, great status, great personality. And what I'm trying to say is that we are all his students. And we are from his same silsila, from the same series of teachers. And Allah Ta'ala has introduced us to the deen via his teaching. And the silsila that continued from Hazrat Sheikh Ahmad Farooqi Sahib, rahmatullah, there were Naqshbandis and there are different chains of Naqshbandi. But the teachers that came after him are Naqshbandi Mujaddadi. And this silsila will continue until Qiyamah. And it was given this laqab, Mujaddadi. After Naqshbandi is Naqshbandi Mujaddadi, any teacher that comes from his chain. So when we embark on the journey of learning, then we will learn from his words, his statements, his principles, the teachings he gave of how to get close to Allah, to be successful, to be safe from hellfire. That is our objective, that we're sitting here, we want to learn so we can increase, better our akhirah, and we can die with iman, depart with iman, and we can be presented in Allah Ta'ala's court in a pure manner, in a nice manner. So his teachings are in this light and for this purpose. And alhamdulillah, all Muslims, mashallah, he was a great Muslim. It wasn't his teaching. He was teaching under the shadow, the light of the Quran and the Hadith. And I'd like to share some of his points, his teachings with us. Not just a few points, but in a little bit of time, he, mashallah, totally, you could say, summarized the message of Islam. And if we do amal on these teachings, then inshallah, there will be enjoyment and success. In a few words, few phrases, he defined tasawwuf. He summarized the tasawwuf and he explained who will be successful, who will fail, what we need to do, what we need to leave, what is the meaning of success. This is for every human being, not just people who are practicing tasawwuf or Naqshbandi or Sufi. No, he explained and defined Islam for the whole ummah, for all Muslims. And he stated himself that Our amal, our practice and our efforts. Our amal, our deeds and our efforts are nothing. They amount to nothing. They have no, you can say, strength. They have no status, no special characteristics. And look, that's why before I carried on this discussion today, I introduced Hazrat Shaykh Ahmed Faruqi Sahib Rahmatullahi to us. So we understand who's telling us this. That our amal, our deeds, our efforts, they amount to nothing. They amount to nothing. This is what he taught us. He explained this. And nor can we attain anything from our amal, our deeds or our efforts, unless there's the fadl of Allah with us. And unless the grace, the bounty, and the mercy of Allah is with us. So explain this point. I'll tell you one by one so we understand it in detail. So let's understand this first point, that no man, no person, mu'min, he can do as many amal and deeds and efforts as he wants, mujahidat, etc. Whatever he wants to do from his personal self. But there's no worth to his deeds unless Allah Ta'ala's mercy and bounty is upon that person. If a person says, I'm pious, I practice so much, I've done so many deeds, I've worshipped Allah, there's no weight behind that. These were Hazrat Shaykh Ahmed Faruqi Mujaddad Al-Aftani, there was a Sahib Qashf, he had vision, inspiration. We read Quran, but they understood the Quran to the depth and he spoke with confidence because he had to revive the world. He was the Mujaddad, he was the reviver of the deen. He said, wake up and come towards the right deen. Don't fall into deception and darkness. No more prophets will come, no more Nabis will come. So Allah Ta'ala sent his walis, the awliya Allah, to the world. So people like us who are useless, we sit down, we create our mansions in our minds and palaces and rewards. I'm pious and I'm worshipping and I'm going to be rewarded. Allah Ta'ala sends the walis of Allah. And those who come after 100 years, they are the mujaddad of that generation. And who comes after 1,000 years and nobody has come after him? Yes, because he is the one, the sole mujaddad al-ifthani, the mujaddad after 1,000 years. He was given this title. He said, we can try as much as we want, practice, make effort, but there will be no rewards. There will be no benefits, but there will only be benefit if Allah Ta'ala's fadl is mixed. Not mixed, but is there. Is overwhelming our deeds and looking over us and protecting us. Allah's fadl, Allah's mercy, Allah's bounty, Allah's grace. And he said, Allah Ta'ala's fadl, what is this? Subhanallah, what a beautiful point. He said that Allah's fadl, Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah's mercy, he said, he spoke about himself as he said that the fadl that I receive from Allah, I receive from one thing. And without that, there's no fadl. So the first point, the first step of Allah Ta'ala's fadl. So first thing is we need Allah Ta'ala's fadl to give all our deeds a success. And what fadl do we need from Allah? What is the fadl of Allah? How will it come to us? How do we obtain it? How do I know that I can bring Allah Ta'ala's fadl towards me so that Allah Ta'ala's mercy and grace is upon me with my deeds? He stated that Sayyid al-Awwaleen Akhireen, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without imitating him and following him, we cannot attain Allah Ta'ala's fadl. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the hadith that you can have no iman. We have no iman unless we don't hold the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more beloved to us than everything else in the universe and from all of mankind. This is the point. So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani, they said that don't be deceived that you are practicing, you've got deeds and your efforts. No, there will be no effect on that. What will be weighed on the scale on the Day of Judgment? All the deeds we will take to the court of Allah. Allah will weigh the deeds according to the criteria of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Have we imitated him? Have we followed him? Have we obeyed him? A person who practiced every single deed, the fast, the prayer, the hajj, the zakat, any deed, any sadaqah, zakah, any action, if it's in accordance with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's practice, then it will be accepted on the scale. And without that, there's zero acceptance. Otherwise, we can try as much as we want, spend as much time as we want, full effort, sisters, brothers, all of us. But first thing, if our deeds are deficient and don't have the obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we will attain zero, empty. And doesn't matter how much I've spent my time and effort in the world, but if my deeds are not in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then I will not attain the rewards. This is a big deception for us today. Our basis of acceptance, our criteria that we put in front of us today are totally different. We think that if I wake up in the night and I'm pious, why won't Allah accept it? But Allah Ta'ala says, you can wake up in the night, stay up all day, all night, you can stand upside down and pray Salah, and you can be making maximum effort, but that's nothing for me. I want one action, Allah says, and that is the obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my brothers, the first step for making effort. The first run towards success, the success of the akhirah, the color of the deen, every action, second breath and habit of us, every lifestyle of us will become ibadah, worship, only if it's in accordance to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam practice. And if we don't have this in our life, then we are unsuccessful. And these were those people who have told us these points, that they physically implemented this. They didn't just speak from their mouths. They physically implemented. How did his life start off? His efforts. That the king of that time was Jahangir. He was a Mughal emperor, very famous Mughal king. And his, you could say, culture around him was that he wanted people to bow to him when they entered his court or met him. They had to bow to him, to respect him, to accept him. So they said to Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullahi, that you will so bow in front of me. He said, no, I cannot do this. He said, you'll have to do this. I'm the king. His minister said, you have to. He's a big king. The kings of that time, they had power, strength. He said, you're rejecting? How can this faqir man reject bowing to the king? The whole world is bowing in front of him and you're not going to bow in front of him? And he said, totally, that's right. I'm not going to bow. If I bow and prostrate, I will only prostrate to my Rabb. How can I prostrate in front of the king? No way. And so they arrested Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullahi, and they put him into jail, into confinement, in a severe place, severe confinement. We think that after becoming a wali of Allah, they have ease, and from above the mercies rain down and they get money and gold and people run after them and he enjoys life, the wali of Allah. No, the first sign of the wali of Allah is that he has to go into jail. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. He used to go into jail. Jail is in the destiny of the wali. And jail is the decoration of the wali. And that's his recognition and his growth. Subhanallah. He cannot be the wali of Allah who doesn't get the tests and the trials in life. And that jail, not his jail, not the jail of the people. The bigger the wali, the bigger the jail. And what is the worst jail for the wali of Allah? The jail that those who don't have iman, they prepare for the wali of Allah. He is sent to the jail of those who don't have iman. Because this is where Allah Ta'ala wants to teach the ummah. So Allah Ta'ala shows the hardships that the wali has to go through, the sacrifice he has to make. Allah, we think the wali of Allah, he's living life of luxury and comfort and the people of the dunya running after them. But Allah Ta'ala knows best the maqam he gives to his friend through the efforts the friend has to make. So the initiation of the walayat is that he was sent to the big jail. Severe hardship in the jail. It was severe punishments and hardship and confinement. And so Jahangir. Now at that time Shah Jahan, he used to love Hazrat. And he was from the Mughal dynasty. And there were many scholars there and Muftiyan. And he went and sought a solution. He researched and he said, if you prostrate to the king or bow, you're not really bowing to him or worshipping him. So you're allowed to do this. There is a way out. And he took the kitabs and the references and he went to the jail. And he said, Hazrat, that I will save you from this hardship. I'll take you out of the jail. And there's a little bit of flexibility here that if you prostrate to the king, there is flexibility indeed in this. You're not really praying or worshipping. And he said, the ulama have given this fatwa. There's a way out. And for this reason, I'm right. And you can follow this fatwa. That this is the point. And Hazrat said in reply, I am not going to budge from my stance. I am not going to bow or worship to this king. To the king. So this was an ajeeb time. He passed in the jail quite a long time. We speak, but the person who goes in jail, ask him what is his hal, his condition, every minute of his that passes with difficulty and the problems and the severities that have to be passed. It's not a little thing, is it? So Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani wrote in his maktubat, in his books, in his kitab, beautiful point, that here the problems, the difficulties in the jail, the dhulm, the oppression, the darkness, and all of the things that I was inflicted with and that happened around me, subhanallah. He said that due to the obedience of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, due to imitating the Prophet SAW, due to the sadaqah of Rasulullah SAW, Allah Ta'ala made everything easy for me and my name was written and included in the list of those people who have obeyed the Prophet Muhammad SAW and now have no reason for any complaint or difficulty. Allah has given me his rewards. So this is to encourage people, to increase their courage and encouragement. And he gave the example that until Qiyamah, that the difficulties will come. Don't think that without imitating and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we will be successful. This is the first lesson for a Muslim, that we have to bring our lifestyle totally in accordance with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifestyle. That the deen is success is not due to tasbih or dhikr or sujood. The whole basis of success and the hereafter will be based on imitating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ittiba, and not fard and wajib and mustahab and needy and not necessary. Allah Ta'ala has left that. Allah said, one reward, great reward. What is that? فَتَبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Subhanallah. That if you do amal on one sunnah, you will draw so close to me and you'll be beloved to me. Allah Ta'ala says, can there be any greater reward than this? Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that. No, you will love me or I love you. Allah Ta'ala says, one reward. One reward for following the sunnah. And in this day and age, Allah Ta'ala says, what a big reward is left here for the imam, for the Muslims. Allah Ta'ala says, if you practice the sunnah, you will become beloved to me. فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Imagine today in this day and age to practice the sunnah. SubhanAllah. And is this something we can see today? Is it visible? That person who's implementing the sunnah should be so happy that SubhanAllah, Allah's made me his beloved. And that person should have no worries, no distress, no cause for concern. And a person, if he does have difficulties in life and he's following the sunnah, he should say, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala is sending me difficulties so that my iman and my status is increased. And Allah Ta'ala didn't say that this is a big sunnah, small sunnah. No, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ Allah said, and if we don't do amal on the sunnah, doesn't matter how much I'm making effort, spending time reciting Quran and completing the Quran, etc. Then Allah Ta'ala says that you will not attain anything. Hazrat said, Sheikh Ahmad Faruqi, that you will get no rewards in the hereafter, you'll get dust like soil and nothing else. Because in the eyes of Allah, there's only one mode of acceptance, just one, that I sent to my Mahbub, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as an example to mankind. And my Allah Ta'ala says, my demand is that you follow him and imitate him. And the reason for this is that one thing, Allah Ta'ala says, that it's not that anything is hidden. If you look at the prophets, 124,000 prophets came to this earth, and there were believers and people who followed them, and their sunnah could have been printed and shared and documented and recorded and disseminated. And mashallah, the Sahaba Ikram, they knew how to record and understand, and they witnessed the sunnah firsthand. But they understood that he is the example until the day of judgment, the supreme example. And Allah Ta'ala said, I don't want one of his practices to be hidden. Rather, Allah Ta'ala made such a preparation that this ikhtilaf was brought into the deen. Differences of opinion. Some scholars, they had the opinion that raful yadain, you should pray, raise the hands after ruku, or raise the finger at this time, or lower the hands at this time. Allah Ta'ala spread all of the practice of the sunnah amongst the ummah. Somebody became Shafi or Hanbali or Maliki or Hanafi, and all are correct. Why? Because all of the practices of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being preserved. One imam said, I've read this, I accept this opinion, I think this is the correct way. And the other imam said, no, this is the correct way. So three imams do raful yadain, who they accepted the practice of raful yadain, which is to raise the hands after ruku. And Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa, they said, no, there is no raful yadain after coming up from the ruku, raising the hands. But all of the imams on the path of haq, what's the reason for this? I say the reason for this is there's no difference of opinion, no argumentation or position, just that Allah Ta'ala wanted that I don't want one practice of my Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be left that it is not practiced, and that all the ummah across the world, the different countries, they observe the different practices of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say we are Sufis, we are practicing the deen, we're following sunnah, I'm a pious woman, I do this action, that action. Allah says, where's the ittiba of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where's the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life? What is the standard? Mujaddid al-Afthani rahmatullahi gave the standard to the qawm, the nation of the Muslims. Remember, we are that qawm. If we want to make the akhirah successful, then there's one standard. And then I will present this point and conclude this point I'm making, because this is a very in-depth subject. Once Hazrat Mujaddid al-Afthani said to his khadim, to his worker, that bring me some long, you know, like cloves, the spice. And he went quickly and he brought the long, the cloves, and he put them, presented them to Hazrat Mujaddid. And when he saw there were six in number, six. When he saw six, then he became a little bit angry, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Afthani rahmatullah. And he became very angry. He said, is this, what have you done here? That you call yourself a Sufi? You're following the deen of Islam and the worker of the Sufi? Have you not understood until today? Don't you understand the amount of number that you should have brought? Because Allah loves the witr, the odd number. And Allah Ta'ala says that I love the odd number. And you brought six here to me? That what a big sunnah you've discarded. And then he put them to the side. He did not accept. So to not accept that he brought six in number of that cloth, that this, he said, if I accept this, we'll go against the sunnah. This is wrong. And mashallah, can we imagine in his life that he took hold of an action or observed an action that is against the sunnah? This is the basis of success, brothers. Let's look at our appearance, our faces, our libas. And high position we're talking. The more a person wants to be, you can see, in a higher status. For example, there's a king. A king has his ministers, and behind the ministers are the guards. There's difference in the rank, isn't it? In the status. So you have the king, who has his deputy, and then his ministers and the guards. The guard cannot be the same as the ministers, the same as the deputy or the king. So the guard, he's different in this rank and the status, but the minister or the deputy is close to the king. He shouldn't do actions which are against the nature of the king. So those were the walis of Allah, the people who are making effort in deen. We want qurb of Allah, the nearness to Allah, we want high status in Jannah. We say that we are Sufi, and that person, that believer, he discards the sunnah. He eliminates the sunnah from his life and he thinks he'll get close to Allah. No, this cannot occur. I remember a kashf of Hazrat Mujaddad al-Thani, and the Hazrat said that kashf in my vision, I was shown, I had inspiration, I saw in the kashf that the whole of mankind is in darkness, lost in darkness. The whole dunya, the whole of mankind. And I was distressed that this dunya, the world is in darkness now. What's happened? Then I heard the announcement that Mujaddad, the reason that there's no sunnah amongst the people of the world today. So where will the light come from? And let's look today now. Where are we today? That is there, if there's no sunnah in a home, in a family, then how will the light come there, nur come there? If there's no imitation or observance or the following of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a family, in a household, then how will the nur and the light come to the family? All of our deeds and practice and amal have to be in accordance with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sunnah. Otherwise there's no success. The nur and the light will only come through that. Take any amal. If we have any deeds that are not in accordance to the sunnah, they will rise up dark on the day of judgment. Salah will be dark. Our du'as will be dark. Our Quran will be dark. Blind. Our salah will be blind. Our Quran, our praying will be blind. All of our ibadat will rise blind. But Allah, how can this be? I tried my best. I did so many things. But Allah says that you did not put the light into your deeds. This salah, if you observe your salah in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there was the sunnah in your salah would be so enlightened, you'll be in the dunya and the light would be in the heavens. This will be your salah, the success of your salah. Salah is such a great practice, but you wanted to pray salah according to your desires. You took the sunnah out of your practice, the sunnah. And I created the universe due to my Habib, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Habib, where did you get the salah? And we'll say, Allah, your Habib brought the salah to us. Who taught you Hajj? Who taught you how to kiss the Hajjul Aswad, the Bousa? Who taught you how to pray salah? Who taught us all of the different practice? Who taught us how to go to Arafat to practice the rukun of Hajj? Whose tariqah was this? Tell me. Allah will ask us on the Day of Judgment. So you were so treacherous, Allah Ta'ala says, that you took the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam out of your lives and you followed other practices. Somebody made his face like this, somebody made his appearance like this, somebody made it long and short and different. Allah gave him one tariqah. 124,000 sahaba, companions, noble companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after that, the tabi'in, 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 the awliya Allah, salafu salihin, imams, scholars, they presented the practice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to us. This is his appearance. We say, no, I am doing the way I want. So who am I deceiving? I'm deceiving myself. Nobody else. How can I attain success if my amal are devoid of the sunnah? Can a person be corrected just by praying salah and doing nothing else? No, there's a whole sketch and framework of life that we've been given that we have to follow. We need to bring ourselves to the platform of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is not about speech. This is not about speech. Oh, I'm giving a speech and this is fine. And if I follow the sunnah, brothers, if we follow the sunnah, we'll succeed. No, this is about amal, deeds, practical implementation of the sunnah. There's no point us just sitting around and talking about the sunnah and telling each other about the sunnah. We have to practice sunnah. Look, people are passing away from the world every day. And if I pass away from this world in a bad way by not following the sunnah, I'll be leaving the world in darkness. Allah Ta'ala sent his nabis, his prophets, the sahaba, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest prophet, the sahaba, the walis of Allah, this great wali who I've mentioned, the whole ummah of Islam, the scholars, everyone accepts and gave him the title of Mujaddad al-Thani. Explained to us, he demonstrated to us, and we don't do amal on these practices. Look at our homes, our lives, everything we need to see, eating, drinking, standing, sitting, clothes, wearing, going out, everything. There should be no second of our life that we don't know that how did Rasulullah physically implement here. We shouldn't wait that it will become fard, then I will practice, or if it's wajib, then I'll do or won't do. This is not success, my friends. This is not success. Only one point we need to follow here is that if we are practicing Islam according to the sunnah, then we'll get two things. One, we'll get the immense thawab, the highest form of thawab. Don't ask. If we are practicing our life totally in accordance to the sunnah, then don't ask. Imagine the thawab we'll get, the reward. Whatever amal we're doing, whatever deeds we're doing, it will become ibadah. So number one, we'll get immense reward. Number two, it will be ibadah, accepted worship. And the third point, so number one, you'll get reward. If you practice sunnah, number one, you'll get reward. Number two, it will be classed as ibadah. And number three, Allah will say, I've accepted your deeds. I've accepted it. So what a big loss we're in. Tell me. What a big loss. No, I feel ashamed wearing the imamah. Allah says that in the world, if you, the Prophet ﷺ will say that you are ashamed of following my sunnah in the world, today I'll be ashamed of interceding for you on the Day of Judgment. فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. I have no link with you. You ran from my sunnah in the dunya. Oh, I'm ashamed. Oh, it's the heart for me to do this. Oh, what will this person say? Then Rasulullah said, go to him and ask him to intercede for you. The person you are ashamed of. Practicing the sunnah in front of him. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ, Allah Ta'ala says, what a great verse in the Quran. What a Nabi I've sent to you. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. There's such a Nabi. What a link he had with you, a connection he had with you, so much love. The Quran is telling us that you don't know the status of his heart. I am his Rabb. Allah Ta'ala says, what can I say to you? How he loved you, the condition of his heart, that in his heart, how much love he had for the Ummah. That in his heart, that every drop of mercy and every drop of affection in his heart he had for who? His children, for his Ahlul Bayt, his family. For who did he have love and mercy and affection and regard? The extreme love. Look at the style of his love. The manner of his love. Azizun, Allah says, Azizun alayhi ma'anittum. Allah Ta'ala says, indeed there's come among unto you, O mankind, an apostle from among yourselves. Heavily weighs upon him the thought that you might suffer in the life to come. Full of concern for you is he, and full of compassion and mercy towards the believers. And Allah says, if this is my Mahbub and how he loves you, then imagine how I love you, O Ummah. Allah says, aren't you ashamed that every Thursday, every Monday, and every Thursday, today's Monday, isn't it? And to every Monday and Thursday in the court of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the deeds of the Ummah are presented. Imagine how much pain he must feel. Every man, every woman, doesn't matter what madhab, whichever appearance or language or creed or color or language is spoken, could be living in whichever island of the world. If he has a link with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Quran says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves that person that he cannot even bear for a second. He doesn't even know that there's a man sat in an island in a remote part of the world. But if he's an ummati, then he is so beloved and high in status in the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he cannot bear to withstand the pain and the punishment that ummati gets. Can your father, if your father sat in India and you're feeling pain, and if you go and say, oh, I'm feeling pain, is it? Oh, okay, fine, and he'll go to sleep. That's it. He doesn't have that much regard. He will go to sleep. It's time for him to go to sleep. For example, he may say, oh, my son, he's lost money, the check's not cleared, he didn't give me money, he didn't transfer money to me. He's got love for the sake of money. And all of the people of the world have relationships due to money and currency, but there's one love. Allahu Akbar. Azizun alayhi ma'anittum harisun alaykum bil mu'mineen. Allah Ta'ala says, heavily weighs upon him the thought, just the thought that you might suffer in the life to come in the akhirah. Full of concern for you is my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and full of compassion and for the mu'mineen. He has special love and regard. He is haris. Allah Ta'ala says haris. He has so much concern for you. So much concern. Harisun. That Allah Ta'ala made this concern apparent. Allah has mentioned a beautiful point. Ra'ufur Rahim. He is merciful towards the believers. And these are two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowhere in the Quran will you see the quality and the attribute that Allah Ta'ala mentions about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is haris for you, O Ummah. He has so much concern for you to this extent. Alaykum, he is so much concerned for you and he is full of compassion to you. That Allah Ta'ala uses the two attributes, Ra'ufur Rahim. He is full of compassion and mercy for the believers. And then we leave his sunnah, we say, where is it written? It's not necessary, I can't follow the sunnah, it's not necessary, it's not important. This is adab upon adab. Adab for the ummah. Punishment upon punishment. Imagine the taklif that you don't recognize the sun. You don't recognize that this is a practice of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An ummati doesn't recognize the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the angels will say that this man, he shaves his beard and this sister walks around without parda. They don't pray salah. The women, they've taken off their parda, the hijab, they're like naked. And we say we are ashiks, lovers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We go out on a march, a demonstration, we give a khatam, and oh, I'm an ashik, I'm a lover. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi. That we've read a bit of Quran, or I've read these verses, and I'm a believer. Such pain reaches to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a person disregards the sunnah. Man ahabba sunnati, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I don't receive pain from any action. The pain I receive most is from an ummati. One of my ummah, the believer, when he leaves the sunnah, that's when I receive the most pain of all. My heart feels that what I'd like to share with you, an event from my life, it's a very private matter, but we're talking about the sunnah, so I'm now aroused, and I'd like to share with you a private personal matter. So we realize that this is what occurs when we leave the sunnah. This is from decades ago when I was young, and I was given the opportunity to go on Umrah. I was Western in my lifestyle. My lifestyle, you could say, was non-Islamic, immersed in the dunya. And I thought I was pious and I'm a worshipper. I pray Salah sometimes, pray Tahajjud. I was clean shaved, prayed sometimes and pray Quran recitation, Tahajjud. Now I pray Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. On one stage, one opportunity Allah Ta'ala gave to me, Alhamdulillah, to go on Umrah. So when I went on Umrah, and this is decades ago, I'm talking about the 70s or before that. Possibly in the old days in Medina, before the time of Ishraq, before Ishraq, and I went and sat next to the Rawda, the Rawda Mubarak, the blessed Rawda, the holy grave, and I sat there and I leaned against the Rawda, and I'm telling you a personal matter, two events that occurred in my life, and maybe for this reason, because Allah Ta'ala wanted to expose me to the dunya, to share the deen with the people. So if my yaqeen isn't strong, and if my conviction's not strong, then how will I explain and assist others? So I could never speak, sit down like I'm today and speak with conviction. I could say from the kitab, sunnah is important, necessary, no. But now I'm sweating, my blood's turning to sweat, and I'm speaking with compassion and jizbah. I'm aroused. I'm not giving a speech. This is not a lecture. I'm touching on this topic because Allah Ta'ala wants to share something special with us. So I was sat leaning against the Rawda, the holy Rawda Mubarak, and I thought I'm an ashik, a lover of the sunnah, I'm a lover of the deen of Islam. We hear things in it, and I was reciting a naat, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam listens to the words in it that I recite in front of the Rawda, and I was sat there in front of the Rawda, and two men came next to me, one on my right, one on my left, and what language they were speaking I don't know, but I was understanding what they were saying, and I was responding. They said, why are you sitting here in front of the Rawda? And I said, I'm just sat here. They said again, why are you sat here? I said, I'm sat here. They said, you know you cannot sit here. This is the dialogue discussion. He's on one side, the other on the other side. They said, you cannot sit here. I said, why? They said, do you know one point? I said, what? They said that you are giving pain to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're giving him discomfort, pain, problem. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm reciting durood. They said, look at your face. Look at your appearance. Do you know that you are discarding the sunnah, you are breaking the sunnah, you're giving pain to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Said, get up. And they pushed me so much that I was pushed away from the Rawda, and I suddenly found myself in the back, the other part of the masjid. Like a gust of wind came, and I came to my senses. I did tawbah, I repented, I asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. I'm telling you a true event, this is a true event. I came out at that time, I put myself together, and pulled myself together, fell into sajda prostration, and did tawbah and repent. Allah said, I said, Allah, after today I won't shave, I won't trim my beard. Allah, accept my repentance. Allah, be pleased with me. I believe I'm crying. What time was it now? Ishraq time, after Fajr, after Ishraq sunrise. I'm sat in the same place, next to the door of Jibreel, the Babi Jibreel, next to the platform of the Ashab Sufa, the raised platform. I'm crying. When I'm crying, I saw again the same two men, one on this side and one on the other side. They're smiling at me, and they gave me love and affection. They said, go. And then the gust of wind came again, and then I found myself again in front of the holy Rawda, the Rawda Mubarak, the holy fence. Subhanallah, this is the first event. And now the second event, I tell you about the importance of sunnah, the criticality of sunnah. There was the masjid of the Haram Sharif at that time, and his beard was cut or trimmed, Allahu Alam, it was short. And I suddenly, shaitan came and whispered into my ear and tried to make me feel mahada. Look, he's the imam of the haram and he's trimmed his beard or cut his beard. Why, you foolish person, growing the beard? If he can trim his beard and become the imam of the Kaaba, of the haram, and give the speech and his imam, then this is not necessary, is it? Keeping the beard. Why are you lengthening your beard, keeping the beard? Why do you have to do this? You don't have to do this practice. Wallahi, by Allah, I slipped. Shaitan made me slip. He tried to instill doubt. I thought, this is Dalil, this is the Imam of the Kaaba, he is leading the Salah. He doesn't have the beard, his beard is trimmed, very short. And he must be correct, otherwise how would he be made the Imam? How would Allah Ta'ala give him this status? And the nafs comes into play straight away that time. Imagine the scene, Allah Ta'ala ordained, and that man, he stood in front of the Kaaba for approximately 30 minutes. He gave a speech about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Sunnah. And his final portion of his speech, he said, remember, who's listening? What was the gathering? He said, remember one point, even if somebody stands on the roof of the Kaaba, and he leaves the salah, and he does not follow the sunnah, then totally don't accept him as imam. He's shaitan. Suddenly I did istighfar, repented, did tawbah to Allah. So these two events were very deep and had a deep impact on my life. And we cannot imagine that how a person's deen can be completed if we have sincerity, if we have the yearning. And then we can progress and progress, and then we will understand the important thing. We can do everything, we can practice, nothing's haram. But we need to see that in our life, what did Rasulullah ﷺ prefer? What does he want us to do? What was his practice? What was his lifestyle? His mannerism, his conduct, his physical conduct? That's what we need to then bring into our lives. So we need to diminish our desires, reduce and suppress our desires. We need to increase the practice of the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. And Allah Ta'ala says, then you will become my mahbub, my beloveds. Let's do dua to Allah that all of our ibadat, our worship, our life A to Z is in accordance to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's obedience, observing his lifestyle. Ameen. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.